Add his blessing to the reading of the scripture this morning, and may the words from my mouth be what we need to hear and what God intends for us to hear today. There was a little boy when he was asked the question what he thought came first, the chicken or the egg. He said, well, it had to be a chicken because God can't lay eggs. There are many things in life and in the Christian faith that none of us can understand. It reminds me of a quotation I read that goes like this. Birds do not sing because they have an answer. They sing because they have a song. When we come to worship, it doesn't mean that we have all the answers. You heard me just moments ago tell the kids, I don't understand it, but that's okay. I believe it. It simply means that we have a song, not that we have all the answers. We don't understand how the God of all creation could empty himself and could become that little baby in Bethlehem. We don't understand how a cross that was placed by Roman soldiers on the top of a hill outside Jerusalem over 2,000 years ago could save the world from its sin. We don't understand how the God of billions of galaxies could hear and answer the prayers of one little child who might be kneeling beside their bed, praying for their sick grandmother in some remote part of the world. We're not here because we have all the answers. We do not need to understand all the mysteries of the faith. We're here because we have a song, just like those birds. This morning, I want to talk to you about one of the most complicated doctrines of the Christian faith, the Trinity, God. God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. How can it be that one person can also be three? Some theologians have solved this problem by looking at the Greek word persona, which means mask. The Greek actor would play many parts in the same play. One actor would play several parts, and he or she would put on a new mask for each part that they played. They explain that God makes himself known in three different ways, as the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. I think that's a good explanation, as much as we can understand. Or think about the roles that each of us play each day. I am a father, I'm a grandfather, I'm a brother, I'm an uncle, I'm a pastor. I have lots of different roles that I play in my life, but I'm still only one person. Two simple explanations, as best as I can do, to explain a little bit that complex doctrine of the Trinity. How can the human brain comprehend this mystery? We can't. We don't have the answers, but we can sing the song. And today we've gathered to sing our songs of praise to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, that precious Trinity. Think about God's role as the Father. He is the source of all that lives and moves and has its being. He is the one who sustains our lives. He created us. The Father is our provider. We have learned, haven't we, that he will always meet our needs. He never forgets us. He never, ever leaves us or forsakes us. A devout Christian was dying at a ripe old age, and when his pastor came to visit, the man said, Pastor, I am dying. For years I have been feasting upon the promises of God, listening to sermons, reading scripture, reading books. But this morning, I can't remember a single one of those promises. And the pastor answered back, my dear friend, do you think that God has forgotten any of them? Of course not. God does not forget promises he made to us. In Pilgrim's Progress, John Bunyan wrote about a pilgrim who was locked in a castle of giant despair. In its very deepest dungeon, the pilgrim is about to give himself up for lost when he recalls that in his pocket he carries a key called promise, and that it will unlock any dungeon door. That's a key carried by you, by every Christian, no matter how giant our despair might be. We have that key. we have the promises of God the Father. Norman Vincent Peale tells about a business executive who had three boxes on his desk. One was labeled incoming, one outgoing, and the other undecided. Well, undecided seemed to always have the most papers in it. Then he added a fourth box, which he labeled, with God, all things are possible. I think I need a box like that, don't you? That was a wise thing to do. We have learned, I hope by now, most of us, that we can trust God in our needs, in his role as our Father. We know that in him, all things are possible. We have witnessed miracles. We have a living, breathing miracle sitting here in the sanctuary this morning. Arnie's here. 10 years ago, a double transplant and doing well. Even when we may not feel it, God's sustaining power is always there. There was a drought that hit a part of Texas years and years ago, and for 7 years, they got very, very little rain. The soil became baked and it became dry, and deep cracks opened up in the earth. And people were saying that the soil was ruined and nothing, even with rain, nothing was ever going to grow again. Then the rains came. And in 24 hours, 7 inches of rain soaked into the earth. The sun came out, and later some more rain fell. And then a strange thing happened. These beautiful little flowers called Texas blue bonnets began to come up. And the earth was soon covered with all of these beautiful blue blossoms. Where did they come from? Nobody planted them. Through all those 7 years, that seed had been in the ground all the time. Through all those years of drought, that was waiting for moisture to bring them to life. Through all those 7 years, we could say that there were flowers there, even when we didn't see the blossoms. It's that way with God's power in our lives. God is our creator, our sustainer. God is our loving Father. But God is also our brother. That's the second part of this mystery. 1 Corinthians says God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. Jesus, the Son, we believe, came to become one of us. When Ronald Reagan, who was over 70 years old, was campaigning for president, an 80-year-old woman said to him, "Everything you say sounds fine, and I agree with much of what you say, but what about us old folks? Haven't you forgotten us?" Mr. Reagan smiled at the lady and said, "Forgotten you? Heavens, how could I ever forget you? I'm one of you." That makes a difference. To say that God was in Christ is to say that God has become one of us. He has walked where we walk. Just as important, he has shown us life from God's perspective. In his book called A Man Called Peter, Peter Marshall said that in 1913, a Jewish math professor wrote a formula on the blackboard for the amusement of his students. His name was Albert Einstein, and he wrote this: E equals mc squared. Energy equals mass multiplied by the square of the speed of light. Writing about that formula, Time magazine said about 32 years later, that man could forget all that he had learned up to then. This was the formula that opened the secrets of atomic power. The teachings of Jesus were every bit as dramatic as Einstein's were to the scientific world. Historian Kenneth Scott Latourette said, "As the centuries pass, the evidence is accumulating that measured by his effect on history, Jesus is the most influential life ever lived on this planet." We don't know all that we would like to know about Jesus, but we do know a lot about him. And what we do know has affected every life in this room. A Danish philosopher once wrote this: "If the contemporary generation of Jesus had left nothing behind them but these words, 'We have believed that in such and such a year God appeared among us,' in the humble figure of a servant that he lived and taught in our community, and he finally died for us, it would be more than enough. That's all we need to know. That's all we have to know about Jesus. But lucky for us, we know much, much more. That's why we sing, "All hail the power of Jesus' name," or "My Jesus, I love thee," and many other great songs, worshiping and adoring the Son of God. We may not have all the answers, friends, but we do have the song. That brings us to the third person in the Trinity, one we talked about last week, who we call the Holy Spirit, God present with us to guide us, to comfort us, to give us strength when we need it. It's not enough to say that God is our creator and sustainer. It's not even enough to say that Jesus was God. God is still alive and at work in our world today through the power of that Holy Spirit, that third person in the Trinity. That Spirit is with us and within each of us today. Funny story about a priest who was trying to make some changes to the liturgy in his very, very old-fashioned parish. And so he was teaching the people some new responses. And he said to them, "When I say, 'The Lord be with you,' you reply altogether, 'And also with you.' Then I will say, 'Let us pray.' Well, the day came to begin the new liturgy, and something happened to his microphone, and the priest was trying to get it to work, and he said in a very loud voice, 'There is something wrong with this microphone.' And the congregation responded, 'And also with you.'" Well, both statements are probably true. There's something wrong with all of us, but thank God the Lord is with us. He empowers us. Gainsborough, the artist, wanted also to be a musician. He didn't think it was enough to be a very good artist. He bought musical instruments of all kinds, and he tried to play them. Once, when he heard a great violinist playing, he decided that he was playing music so masterfully that he thought if he had that violin, that wonderful instrument, that he'd be able to play it like that too. But he soon learned that the music was not in the violin. It was in the violinist. Dr. A.W. Tozier said this, quote, "If the Holy Spirit were withdrawn from our churches today, 95% of what we do would still go on, and no one would know the difference. But if the Holy Spirit were withdrawn from the New Testament church when it first began, 95% of what they did would stop, and everybody would know the difference." The difference is not in the violin. The difference is in the violinist. It is God's Spirit living within us that empowers us to accomplish things. A pastor and her friend were visiting Niagara Falls. The friend remarked how sad to see such great power going to waste as millions and millions of gallons of water were rushing over the falls. And she said, "This is the greatest waste of power in the world." And the pastor answered her, "No, my friend, the greatest unused and wasted power in the world is the Holy Spirit in the lives of the people of God." I think she was right. It is the Spirit that empowers us, but it's also the Spirit that gives us help and comfort in our hour of need. In Victor Hugo's great classic, Les Mis, there's a dramatic moment when a little girl named Cosette, who's an orphan girl, is struggling alone in the darkness under a crushing burden. Jean Valjean, a man who has served 19 years in prison for stealing a loaf of bread to feed his sister's hungry children, has made a promise to Cosette's mother to try to help raise her daughter. Now, in the darkness of this terrible night, Cosette is suddenly relieved of the heavy burden. She looks up in the shadows to see the kind and gentle face of Valjean, the man who has made the commitment to care for her and to never forsake her. Suddenly, she realizes that he has been there, walking beside her, and she wasn't even aware of it. What great news it is that there is someone who has promised you that they will always be with you. Wherever you go, whatever you do, whatever life may bring your way, even when we are not aware of it, the Holy Spirit is always with us. What great news it is that there is someone who has promised to be with us in all times. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. One last comparison. In front of an electric company, there was a neon sign. The neon sign flashed in sequence these three words: light, heat, power. The same electricity, but in three different forms: light, heat, power. How can three be one? We don't have those answers, but we do have the song: Holy, 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 God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Amen.